patch. And the scripture is found in Psalm 19, verses 7 through 10. Beginning with verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. In the title of the sermon, The Honey Patch. The Honey Patch. One Sunday morning, a man and his wife were seated close to the front of the church. And the man's face just seemed to glow. And it got the pastor's attention as he was preaching. He couldn't help but during the sermon, he kept looking back at this man's glowing face. The pastor was continually drawn to the man. And the man's face just seemed to be radiant as he sat there taking in the sermon. Well, that night the man died. He died as a result of a massive stroke. And the pastor knew why God had blessed this man in the worship service. He understood why that man's face was so aglow with the blessings of God, because the pastor was convinced that God was preparing that man for his homecoming as he died that night. Well, early the next morning, the pastor drove to the man's home that had passed away. He knelt by his wife's chair and they prayed together. And as the Holy Spirit moved her, she began to talk about her husband and the blessings of the Lord and the fact that they had no regrets at all, that they'd served God with all their hearts. The issue, it seems, the issue of a stroke had risen 3 years ago, as the husband had a mild stroke and their doctor warned them that he had a condition that it would not be unusual for him to have a massive, serious stroke even later. So knowing that their time together was short, the man took leave from work so he could spend more precious time with his wife and family during those last few years. She knew her husband was with the Lord, and she was comforted with that knowledge in her heart. She looked at the pastor as they had been there praying, and she asked her pastor, she said, "Do you know why he loved to attend the church you pastor? He loved to be around people who had found the honey patch. He loved to be around people that had found the honey patch." Now, I don't know that honey patch, what it might represent to you. But if you'll think about it with me for just a minute, I suppose if you think about the honey patch in a physical sense, it might represent a picture of a forest and full of trees. And among all the trees is an old hollowed out place where honeybees could go up in that old hollowed out tree and make cane and deposit their honey. Or make a honey cone, I should say, and deposit their honey. Well, this image. Close by, there might be a meadow with flowers blooming and producing nectar, and there might be honeybees that light on those flowers and draw the nectar from the flowers. And with the unique ability that God gave the honeybee, then the bee would carry that nectar back to the cone and produce that wonderful sweet honey all amidst that honey cone in that hollowed out tree. Then someone would find that tree. They'd find that old hollowed out tree with that honeycomb in it, and they would pack in quart jars and half gallon tins and buckets, and they would take all that good honey home with them. Then each morning they'd get a saucer out, and in that saucer they'd pour some of that honey, that pure raw honey, they'd pour it in a little saucer. Then they'd get a dab of butter and put it in the middle of that honey in that saucer. Then with a knife or a fork, they'd begin to whip it up real good. And just when they got it whipped up real good, they'd take that ingredients on that saucer of butter and honey and then put it on some fresh hot buttered biscuits and enjoy it. Enjoy it. Makes you hungry right now just thinking of it, doesn't it? They'd eat that fresh hot biscuit full of that honey and butter all whipped together, and they might say, wow, I am so thankful for the honeybees that can make this delicious honey. What the wife was talking about was a spiritual honeycomb. A spiritual honeycomb. The spiritual honey patch. What this really means is, when you think about what does it mean, a spiritual honey patch? It means it's a pleasant place or state of being, of being blessed, of feeling God's presence, a sweet experience with the Lord. What his wife meant when she said he loved to be around those who had found the honey patch, what she meant was that her husband really enjoyed being around other Christians who'd found that pleasant state of joy and happiness of being close to God and close to his son, Jesus. So this morning, in a very real sense, a spiritual honey patch, God's honey patch, we would call it, has a place for every one of us, a place for all of us to dwell, to be there, to be blessed, and where hearts can be full and joy can be complete in our lives. Sometimes you'll greet someone and maybe you'll say to them, how are you doing? Or has the Lord been good to you? It's a common greeting, and you'll ask that question. And maybe you'll hear an answer like this. Somebody will say, well, you know, I'm still in the valley. I've been in the valley for so long, I just don't know when I'm coming out of this valley. Or perhaps you ask that question, how you doing? And they say something like this, oh, I've been going through such a dry place. It is so dry, I just don't know if I'm going to be able to make it. You ask somebody, how's it going? And you might hear this response, well, I'm here. I'm here. That generally means I'm here, but I don't feel so good. Nothing's really going right. In fact, I'm kind of sick, but I'm here. But I'm here. Please hear me this morning. This is true for all of us. We may go through a valley. We may go through a valley. We may go through a challenging season of life. But God never expects or wants us to stay in the valley. He does not want that for us. So this morning, hear me. Make a determination. If this is speaking to you, start climbing out. Start climbing out of the valley. God wants us to climb out of the valley. He's got a honey patch for you if we'll just climb out of the valley. Search for that place that God has, that place that's full and good and rich and wonderful. God wants us in the honey patch. He wants us there. In the Bible, it records 17 times where God says to the nation of Israel, I want you to leave the Egyptian slavery. I want you to get out of that slave camp. I want you to get out from under Pharaoh, and I want you to come to a land of promise that is flowing with milk and honey. God is saying that 17 times to the folks that were in bondage. He's saying, get up. Get out of there. Go over to the land flowing with milk and honey. There is something better for you. Folks, I'm going to tell you this morning, there is something better for you than the valley. There's something better that God has for you. There's something better than that old dry place or the barren desert or spiritual laziness and complacency. God has something better for you. It's a place of fruitfulness and purpose and a place of joy. And we can find it. We can find that place. God wants us to find it. He wants us to find His honey patch. Yet, folks will sometimes say, you know, Pastor, I understand what you're saying, but Pastor, you got to understand. I'm just barely hanging on. In fact, I had to reach up to touch bottom this week. I'm barely holding on. In fact, I almost didn't even make it to church this morning. But I'm going to tell you, the good news is this. God wants you to do more than just hanging on. He wants you to do more than just barely surviving. I want to just remind you that the blood of Jesus provides more than this for you. I want to remind you that the power of Jesus' name provides more than that for you. The Lord is telling us today that a honey patch has been provided, and we don't have to have just an occasional sense of spiritual sweetness. We don't have to have just an occasional sense of God's presence or feeling His joy and love. We can have a double handful. Please hear me today. We can have a double handful if we will determine to follow the Lord and to stand in the fullness of all of His promises. He doesn't want us to be down. He doesn't want us to be broken. He doesn't want you to be discouraged. He doesn't want you just barely getting by and hanging on. He wants you and I to be strong, to be established, to be victorious, and to be full of faith in Him, and to be full of His joy. Well, the Bible tells us that Israel, and this going back to the example of 17 times, He's told them to get up and get out of there. Israel got up and got out, and the next thing you know, you remember the story, they're in the wilderness, and they're starving, and they're complaining, and they're whining. And God answers and meets their needs by His grace and mercy. You remember what He did? God sent manna falling from the sky, food for them. Every day it came. And the Word of God says that they described it like a wafer that had a taste of honey in it. God does not want you and I to starve physically or spiritually. He wants to lead us to where His joy is deep and His love is full. He wants to lead us where His peace is abundant and the glory of God is manifested through our lives and how we live, through the faith that flows out of us. So some of you may ask, well, that sounds great, but what about how do we get to that honey patch? What do we do to get there? What's the key to being in God's honey patch? The Bible always has the answers, doesn't it? I love it. Don't you love the Word of God? It always gives us the answers. Well, the Bible tells us in the Old Testament that a vision had been given to His prophet Ezekiel. In that vision, Ezekiel is shown a scroll, and he's commanded to eat that scroll. And Ezekiel said these words. He said, "Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness." He ate the Word of God that was on that scroll. The Word of God, hear me, the Word of God is the entrance into the honey patch. The Word of God is the entrance. And our scripture text says it beautifully in Psalm 19 and verse 10. Speaking of God's Word and His commandments and His things that He tells us, it says, "More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb." Start right there. Start right there with the Word of God. The Word of God is the nectar, if you would. The Word of God is the nectar. If we will just allow the Word of God to be in our mind, the Word of God to be in our heart, we will begin drawing from His Word and His strength and His promise that He has for all of us. Our life will begin to produce spiritual pleasantness when we're taking in the Word of God. Our lives will show the evidence of God's presence, of Jesus Christ being manifested in our life through the faith that builds up within us. There is no other nectar that can make a person who is sour, who is bitter and sinful, and turn that person into a joyful soul. There is no other nectar that can do that but God's Word. God's Word can do that. There is no other source. Think about this. There's no other source that can cause a person to come out of despair and suddenly find themselves in the height of joy but by the Word of God. There's no other source that can take a despondent and broken and frustrated world and pick it up and move it from that just barely holding on position and face and place its feet, so to speak, on some solid rock. Nothing can do that but the Word of God. You ever wonder why it seems like Satan is attacking you or is attacking other folks? Y'all ever wonder about that? Why does Satan pick certain folks that he seems to be attacking? I'm sure there's many reasons, but I think one of the reasons that Satan selects certain individuals to attack them is because he knows that they have not made up their mind to serve God with all their hearts. They've made up a half-hearted commitment, but not a wholehearted commitment to serve God with all their hearts. And so they're easy prey. Satan knows they're easy prey when he begins to attack them. In fact, the Bible tells us that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You've read that. You've heard that. A double-minded man is unstable. You can't say, well, I'm going to serve God, and you say that on Sunday, and Monday comes around, and suddenly it's just not in your heart at all to please God. Satan is going to attack anyone who's not made that wholehearted commitment to serve God without reservation. Y'all understand what I'm saying when I say that? We must have a deep, sincere, passionate determination to serve God with all of our hearts. Let me just say that one more time. God's desire is for you and me to have the deep, sincere, passionate commitment and determination to serve Him, to love Him, to draw close to Him with all of our hearts. I tell you, when we do this, Satan is defeated and he's whipped and he's on the run. So just make up your mind. Hear me. Make up your mind right now this morning to be determined to get into the Bible, to stand on the Word of God. And when you do that, Satan's going to take his flight. You remember when Jesus fasted for 40 days and he was tempted? And every time Satan gave him a temptation, turn these stones into bread, throw yourself down from this pinnacle, kneel down and worship me. In every case, how did Jesus respond? He said, the Word of God says, and each time he would give him back the Word of God. That's the key for you and me. That's the entrance into the honey patch. So let me show you this morning real quickly just four things that we must do to get into and to live into the honey patch. The first one is this. Learn the difference between Satan's voice and God's voice. I might add another voice in there, your own voice too. Satan's voice, God's voice. Sometimes our voice is just the voice of the flesh. We've got to understand, is it me, is that God, or is that Satan? How do we do that? The simple answer is right in front of us, really, when you think about it. The simple answer is God's voice will always agree with God's Word. Always. So discerning between God's voice and Satan's voice really depends on how much of God's Word have you ingested into your life and how much of it has become a part of your daily life. You can't have that happening in your life if you're not reading and taking in God's Word into your mind and heart every day. So this first key of getting into and then staying in and living in God's honey patch begins with knowing how to discern the difference between the voice of Satan, your own voice, and the voice of God. And just remember, God's voice always in His exact accordance with His Word. The second thing, learn that we cannot watch people if we're going to serve God. See, sometimes we get our eyes on a particular person and we begin to lose our walk with God. I'll tell you, it doesn't matter how wonderful or good a minister or a preacher or a pastor may be. It doesn't matter how good a teacher or another leader in the church may be. Watching people, getting your eyes on people will always, always trip you up. Our eyes must be on Jesus and only Jesus. The old song, y'all, many of you are familiar with this old song, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Keep our eyes on Jesus. I'll tell you, people will fail. People will fail us. Finding God's honey patch means keeping our eyes on Jesus, not on people. Number three, we must not depend on our emotions only, but learn to make a commitment of our will. Sometimes commitments are primarily just emotionally based. Now, emotions aren't wrong. Please don't hear me. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with emotions. But if it's only based on emotions, then what happens is that we're up and then we're down. And we're up and then we're down. There's no steadfastness because it's all just based on our emotional feelings and how we're feeling at that particular moment. We must go beyond just an emotional only commitment. It will take us up and down, like I said, and it won't work. Well, the only thing that works is that we must determine that through our will, by our will, we will make a decision to sell out completely to God. I make that choice. I make that decision. God, I'm selling out to you wholeheartedly with all that I am, not just based on feeling, but of my will, I'm making that decision. God, I will serve you with all of my heart. I will be your child. And I will follow your will, Father, by faith and by your grace. Help me to do that. And finally, number four, we must learn to praise God regardless of the circumstances. I shared this story with you years ago about the dear lady in church that when the preacher would be preaching, she was always shouting, praise God, and it bothered him. He didn't like it. And he just kept getting on his nerves. And finally, he went to visit her one day. And he knew this lady was very poor, so he took a brand new blanket with him and he said, you know, I appreciate you very much, but when you're saying praise the Lord and amen and you're shouting those out loud during my preaching, it really gets me off track and I just need to ask you a favor. If you would refrain from doing that, I would really appreciate it. And by the way, I brought you these beautiful new blankets and I want to bless you with these blankets, but if you please promise you won't do that. She said, oh, Pastor, I'm so sorry. I won't do that. And so the weeks went by and she didn't shout praise the Lord or say amen during the preaching. And one Sunday they had an evangelist come. And this evangelist was just, he was on fire for Jesus. There was an anointing on him. And he's preaching the word of God under the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And the God is just moving and touching. And that poor woman is sitting back there on the back row. And all of a sudden she jumps up and says, blankets or no blankets, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. You know, she learned to praise God regardless of the circumstances. We're talking about God's honey patch. We're talking about the things that get us there, help us stay there. That place of blessing and fullness and a place of abundance, a place of joy and strength and a place of supply. It can only be found when we learn to praise Him regardless of the situation that we're in. There's a great example of this in Luke's Gospel, Luke 17 and 15. The apostles were all thrown in jail. Says, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned. Oh, excuse me, I'm on the wrong story. This is the story of the 10 lepers. This applies better than one I started to make up. Let's read this again. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice, glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. You remember the story. Jesus heals all 10 of these lepers all at once. So Jesus then answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? One came back giving glory to God. Would you see that? Jesus said, weren't there 10 cleansed, but where are the other 9? Were there not any who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? Foreigner being, he's a Samaritan. Only one returned. Now, you've heard messages and sermons and read Sunday school lessons on the story of being grateful and gratefulness. Only one returned. Here's my perspective on this today. One returned because he wanted more than a miracle. He wanted the worker of miracles. One returned because he wanted more than a healing. He wanted the healer. He wanted Jesus. He wanted to know Christ. Oh, there's nothing better and sweeter than a wonderful touch from heaven where God reaches down and touches us. And we can have it more than just on an occasional event. It can be a part of our life every single day in God's honey patch as we come into His presence, as we fall down before Him, and we lovingly praise Him and praise Him and praise Him. Oh, we learn to live in God's honey patch, to stay in His honey patch by praising Him, falling down on our face, humbling our heart bowing our knee, praising God, worshiping Jesus with all that is within us? Have you done that? Oh, praise God when we do, when we just humble ourselves and say, God, you are my source, you are my strength. I can't make it without you. I serve you. I serve you with all my heart. I commit myself wholeheartedly to serve you, to know you, to draw close to you. Then the story I was about to tell, I was getting ahead of myself, is in the book of Acts. And the apostles had been thrown in jail. And they agreed with him, and when they had called for the apostles and beaten them, they commanded they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. So they departed from the presence of the council rejoicing. Look how they departed. They'd just been beaten. They'd been in jail. They're rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for Jesus' name. I'm going to tell you, those apostles had found the honey patch, hadn't they? They did. They had found the honey patch. They learned to hear God's voice. They learned to keep their eyes on Jesus. They learned to praise Him regardless of their situation. They learned to make a wholehearted commitment to serve God and to know Him. Their place is described in this scripture was the choice place of God's honey patch. You and I can enter it. You and I can enter it. We can enter that wonderful, pleasant place. We can know that sweet experience. We can taste the sweetness of Christ in our spirits. We can understand our position in God as His children. So I conclude today by just encouraging all of us, enter into that honey patch through the Word of God. Live in the honey patch by learning to hear God's voice and not any other voice. By keeping your eyes on Jesus and nobody else. By making a wholehearted commitment of your will in addition to your emotions. And by praising God regardless of your situation or the circumstances that you're in. Let us pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you that you're showing us that you have a wonderful and special place for us that serve you and know you and that love you. That you want us to be in that special place, your honey patch. Oh, Father, help us. By your Holy Spirit, help us to see that today. And if there's those here today that have been dealing with despondency or depression or discouragement, they've been in the valley, God, let them just resolve today that they're climbing out of it, that they're taking hold of your word and your promises. They're coming into your presence and they're making a wholehearted commitment this day to serve you with all of their heart and praise you no matter what their circumstances are. In Jesus' name we pray. We thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Amen.